Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried has been convicted of multiple federal counts of fraud for using billions of dollars of clients' money to lead a lavish lifestyle along with others in the company. CBS News tech contributor Ian Scherr.
This is one of the largest frauds in U.S. history. Though Bankman-Fried is expected to appeal, it's likely this will still be a moment of reckoning for the cryptocurrency industry, which has been plagued with fraud marked by a lack of regulation over the years.
In another New York courtroom, Donald Trump Jr. wrapped up his testimony in the civil fraud case against his family and their business. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Prosecutors grilled him about his involvement in the financial documents at the center of the $250 million lawsuit brought by the New York Attorney General. He claims he had no knowledge of the allegedly inaccurate financial statements he signed off on.
Eric Trump has testified he wasn't aware of Dad's financial statements, but emails show some involvement. Ivanka is scheduled to testify next week. Nearly 4 weeks into the war, Israeli troops are now at the edges of Gaza City. The pressure is increasing for a pause in the fighting to help civilians. CBS's Skylar Henry at the White House.
The conflict has created a divide in Congress. The new House Speaker is promising quick action on an Israel aid package. Over in the Senate, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling the House bill woefully inadequate.
Just over a dozen local Muslim community leaders gathered outside the federal courthouse in Minneapolis, saying they're keeping their word to abandon the Biden campaign in the upcoming presidential election. Muslim leader community leader Jelani Hussein says President Biden declined the request to call for a ceasefire in Gaza.
We cannot ever elect a president who refuses to recognize the children of Gaza.
Former Memphis police officer Desmond Mills Jr. pleads guilty to federal and state charges in the death of Tyree Nichols, whose beating was caught on police video. He died 3 days later. Nichols' father, Rodney Wells, tells News Nation.
We are very, very pleased with the outcome of today. Now we're waiting on the sentencing.
Astronaut Ken Mattingly has died at 87. NASA's administrator says Mattingly said it was key to the success of the Apollo program and flew to the moon on Apollo 16. CBS's Peter King reports.
Ken Mattingly was the command module pilot for the Apollo 16 moon mission, which meant he didn't walk on the moon, but he circled the moon and took tons of photographs for about 3 days or so. He also flew two space shuttle missions, commanding them both. His first was the last test flight for Shuttle Columbia before NASA declared the space shuttle operational back in 1984.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to end race-based consideration in higher education programs take another step. The Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee took up a bill Thursday. Among other things, it would guarantee admission to Wisconsin State Universities and Technical Colleges for high school students who graduate in the top 5% of their class. It would also take race out of the equation for financial aid decisions. Governor Evers admits he hasn't visited any state prisons recently, even though three inmates have died in 4 months. People in prisons in Waupun, Green Bay, and Stanley have had to stay in their cells around the clock since March due to staffing shortages. Families say they're concerned about their mental and physical health. Evers says his corrections secretary visits the Waupun prison every day. Democrats introduced a slate of bills looking to improve prison conditions on Thursday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers will bring back one of their pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers re-signed right-hander Colin Ray to a new one-year extension worth $4.5 million guaranteed. Meanwhile, the New York Post says that manager Craig Counsell is in New York to interview for the Mets manager's job. NBA, the Bucks are at home to take on the New York Knicks. At 2-2, Milwaukee has great shooting offense, but nobody playing defense. The Bucks' Pat Connaughton asked, how far can this year's team go?
I think the sky's the limit, but I think we'll focus on trying to get better each and every single day. I think the chemistry continues to grow. I think it's had to grow a little bit in the preseason. We showed flashes, but at the same time, we were all trying to get on the same page at certain points of games as well. And I think that's going to take time. It's going to take communication. It's going to take, mental focus as much as it is physical. And so for us and us guys who have been here or veterans in the NBA, to make sure we use our voices to help each other out while we're out there on the floor and take it game by game.
That's the Bucks, Pat Connington. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 36 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 49 tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Lows around 35 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. There's a lot of it made, a lot of it to get through, and a lot of unbelievable things. Well, Mike Johnson, the new speaker, unfortunately, has just put a bill in regarding the government's healthcare industry, the government's healthcare funding, that does the following. Believe this or not, that does the following. This is Mike Johnson's bill. First, it mandates the reduction of salary for Xavier Becerra, the Health and Human Services Secretary, to $1 a year. These are riders to the funding bill. Second, it mandates reducing the Education Secretary Cardona salary to $1 a year. Third, it provides by law, if it passed, which it won't, that there never again be a COVID mask requirement. Next, it forbids medical student participation in abortion for any reason, even people studying to be OBGYNs. Next, it prohibits Health and Human Services from ever declaring an emergency or information on gun violence. And then the amount that they're passing in this bill is a significant cut that wasn't agreed to by Biden and Kevin McCarthy. This is the clown who the Trump people finally got in after they obstructed Kevin McCarthy, Tom Emmers, anybody that had any common sense. The Senate has passed three bipartisan bills, funding for agriculture, military and veterans affairs, and transportation. Passed 82 to 15. Now it's up to the House. The House has passed one bill. It's loaded with cuts and poison pills. And they only will extend funding for anything until January or April. The Senate through the end of the fiscal year, September 30, 24. We're going to go to the lines before I blow my stack here. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
You know, after hearing what you just read, at what point do Americans say we are now under attack by domestic terrorists? They're trying to take down the very power that centuries have built up. They're trying to destroy within. We're going to have to take emergency action. We're going to have override powers. We're going to have to declare a state emergency. Or do we just roll over and play dead? Because if we wait to go to the voting booth, it's over. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, no, before we go to the next call, I think you're right on the money. I don't counsel extreme personal conduct at this point. And one thing I forgot to throw in was this bill on health care by Johnson also demands that the not only Xavier Becerra, Health and Human Services Secretary, but the Assistant Secretary and the Administrator for Medicare and Medicaid only get paid $1 a year. I'm going to respond to you, but first I'm going to go to the line again. Cindy of Appleton, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Cindy?
What the freak? Honest right. God, I can't even fathom this stuff. Are these people just absolute dictators trying to rule the United States out of any kind of rights for people or what?
Right. No, I think you hit the nail on the head. And just like Bill of Oconomowoc, that is what they're doing. When you say that you demand that the administrator for Medicare and Medicaid only get paid $1 a year, they're not multimillionaires. They can't afford that. They'll have to take another job. It means you don't want anybody administering Medicare and Medicaid. You don't want anybody administrating health and human services. You don't want a Department of Education, and you're sneakily getting around it because that passed by legislation by saying only people who can afford to work for $1 a year should have this job. What's that all about? Well, I'll tell you what that's all about. That is all about the not just the right wing. This is, we're not just talking Federalist Society stuff here or honest conservatism or saying, you know, I think we should do this or I think we should do that. This is using the rules of the House, which limit the ability to put bills on the floor to the speaker, to a guy who doesn't have a checking account. He doesn't have a savings account. He doesn't have a retirement account, he says anyway. He has a $600,000 house that he got a mortgage on. He gets paid now $225,000 a year as speaker, but there's no bank account to put it in. And I don't believe that he gets a bag of cash every 2 weeks. I don't believe it. We're going to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, the Tuberville thing, you know, 46 nominations last night, and he wouldn't agree to unanimous consent on any of them. But Andrea Mitchell reports that they didn't get 61 votes, which suggests that even though there were a lot of Republican senators angry with Tuberville, how come they can't get 60 votes? That sounds ridiculous. It sounds, are there that many hardcore Republicans that they can't even get 10 to go along with bypassing the Tuberville thing?
Right, Bob, thanks for calling. That's a separate issue that I am hitting in a segment, the next segment, actually. So stand by and you'll listen and I will take your calls into account. There's more to it than you just described. It's even worse, quite frankly. But to get back to Mike Johnson, to say that the administrator of Medicare and Medicaid can only be paid $1 a year. You know, in the old days, very wealthy people would sometimes work for $1 a year, like a Nelson Rockefeller type of guy. But there aren't a lot of people around who are willing to do that for very difficult jobs that have to run on time. The trains have to run on time and can only do it $1 a year. Now, this isn't going to pass, but you know what this is really saying? You know what this is really saying? It's saying that they don't want to pass any funding for the government and they want to default on the 17th of November. And today is the 2nd of November. We're talking 15 days away. We're going to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Andrew?
I don't know how they think they're going to run a government after they default on the, but this doesn't make any sense at all, but they are so stupid. And I am very worried that this Johnson will be running in 2028. And if we don't start making good trouble to get things straightened out, I hope there are young people listening, but I know that by and large, they don't listen to talk radio. I'm too old to be making good trouble, but good trouble needs to be made. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. And that was a phrase, I think, from John Lewis, a wonderful civil rights congressman, and a number of people in the Black Political Caucus. I'm talking about the older ones, not the younger ones now, but the ones that went through hell, you know, beaten up and hit on the head in marches and all of that. And that's the way he described it. In other words, civil disobedience, not violent, nonviolent. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's admonition, nonviolent, so that people are judged on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. But, you know, when you have a guy like this Johnson coming in here, a total unknown, I had to Google him. I had to Google him. You know, there are 435 members of Congress. I don't know them all. Never heard of this guy. All right, he's Louisiana, I think, at Shreveport. I had buddies from Shreveport, classmates. Mr. Claude Reeves, the Pothouse Boys, I knew them well. I wouldn't want either one of them to be Speaker of the House. But they were very good guys. A lot of good guys down in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I served with guys from Louisiana on my ship. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. This guy gets in, and this isn't all, you know, it's like, well, enough about me. What do you think of me? It's all about me. It's Trump. Trump's about me. Mike Johnson's about me. Who is he? He's sort of a man of mystery. Sort of a man of mystery. You can't lay a finger on him financially because he leaves no fingerprints. What? Look at his fingertips. What? He has no fingerprints? He has no bank accounts. He has no IRA accounts. He doesn't own a stock. He doesn't own a bond. He won't say what account his check's being deposited into. It has to be deposited into something. He's not being given a bag of cash. And this guy is getting up on his hind legs and going, well, I think I am going to cut to a dollar some of the cabinet, and eventually it'll be all the cabinet. Next, it'll be the Secretary of State for a buck. And of course, Schumer won't let that go through. Biden would veto it. Okay, then fine. Then we're not going to fund you any money. I mean, that's really, frankly, what he's saying right here. That's really, frankly, what he's saying right here. This is absolute impudence. It's absolute treason. And it's very reminiscent of those Confederate comments back in the 1870s. Civil War ended 1865. The Union troops occupied the South through Grant's administration through 76, because the Ku Klux Klan, a lot of the people in the Confederate Army joined the Ku Klux Klan, and they went around murdering Black people. And Union soldiers stopped it until the election of 1876, when Rutherford Hayes was declared president over Sam Tilden. It was pretty awkward because Sam Tilden got more votes. And so what they ended up doing was saying, okay, we're going to withdraw from the South. And one of them said, we were crazy to take up arms against the North. We couldn't win. All we had to do was stay in the Senate and the House. We could have destroyed the country from within. Well, Tommy Tuberville and now this guy Johnson, Mike Johnson, who's a real weirdo, quite frankly. No fingerprints. The guy walks on velvet and velvet slippers. You don't hear him. You don't see him. Nothing happens. And suddenly this happens. All right, we're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Love. Welcome back to Matt and Rick. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Andrew of Detroit?
Hey, Matt. Yesterday I called in and said I was terrified. I've been talking to friends and relatives, listening and reading things on the internet, and I'm a little bit more terrified than yesterday. And I'm thinking the only thing that might save us is because of the testimonies that are coming out of these flippers, the DOJ may start to act on the members of Congress that were involved in the coup attempt. And certainly the speaker would be one of them. The other thing they need to do, and I guess Jack in the D.C. case has asked that judge in another whatever brief or whatever to do something more about the Orange Satan and his comments, probably that he needs to be jailed to be shut up. Hopefully she agrees with something like that, if it's true what I'm saying. Anyway, Matt, always want to hear your thoughts.
Thanks. Excellent comments. And before we get to the next caller, I want to say a couple of things in response to Andrew of Detroit. First of all, I think there is cause to be concerned. Initially, he seemed like sort of a, you know, a Buster Brown sucky-suck type of guy to Trump. And, you know, he's from Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. I have buddies from Shreveport, Louisiana. Claude Reeves, year behind me in school. The Potthorst boys, the two Potthorst brothers, Shreveport, Louisiana, year behind me in school. But the point is, I wouldn't want Claude Reeves and the Potthorst boys as speaker, but they were basically decent guys. This guy is the speaker, and he's the only reason he's the speaker is because they wanted McCarthy and the small Trump faction threw him out. They wanted Scalise, the small Trump faction threw him out. They wanted Emmer, the small Trump faction threw him out. And the reason they could do that is because of such a narrow majority. They're intransigent. They were ready to default after the 17th of November. Then they put up Johnson. And the moderates don't want Johnson. But the moderates are not willing to throw us into default, so they caved. That is the reason why in 1932, Huber wrote that about Hitler's party. And that is, and obviously there are a lot of differences between the two, the Republican Party here and the Nazis back in 1932 have many significant differences, thank God so far. But they have great similarities in how they are operating the parliamentary process. And that great similarity is using parliamentary things to just wear people down and get what they want. And then as far as Trump and the sanctions from the judges, we're going to get to that in a segment. Excellent call. Thank you. We're going to Stephanie, Frank, my friend. That's Stephanie of Madison. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Hey there. Hi, Matt. I'm just going to take a slightly different approach. I just admire everybody for being so smart and so politically connected. Sometimes I just have to kind of pull back from it a little bit. I find it a little scary, unlike Andrew. But I want to say this. First off, the writer for The New Yorker, who wrote an article, it's in the latest New Yorker for the 30th of October, wrote this article about Jim Jordan. And he was on Fresh Air yesterday, and they have excerpts of the interviews. And he said that Mike Johnson is basically Jim Jordan's twin. Okay. He's Jim Jordan in a suit coat. So that's something to really think about. But what I want to say is, this is just, we have to always remember, number one, we've got to pay ourselves first. Okay. If we're going to be effective and active in our lives, we've got to remember who we really want to be. I mean, it's so easy. There are times I just curse these people and I think, God, you know, they're fellow human beings, but hate destroys.
Yeah. But here's
so
the thing.
Anyway,
Stephanie, let me just jump in for a second. Yes, that's true. And all that, we want to be, treat everybody as human beings, but what Trump's people are doing, what Jordan is doing, what Mike Johnson is doing is not moral, is not human, and it's not something we should tolerate, quite frankly. And my concern is that Mike Johnson is a fascist fist in a velvet glove. And by that, I mean, he doesn't have Trump's baggage. You know, he seems to have a normal home life, that kind of thing. He doesn't insult people. He sucks up to them. This is exactly like Scott Walker. Exactly. But then he went in and he signed the right to work thing, busted unions, Act 10. He gerrymandered. They will do that. They will do that. This guy is doing it right now. So thanks very much for calling. Next caller. We have Bill of somewhere, my friend. I can't read this. Okay. Where are you from, Bill?
Oh, Connemore.
Oh, is this Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Okay, Oconomowoc, I'm sitting out here in the Waukesha studio, and the text is very small. What's on your mind today, Bill?
About Mike Johnson, you know, qualities of leadership. Number one, you get parties to work together. That's number one. Number two, you have a sense of humanitarianism. Number three, you've got a history of writing great bills with both sides of the aisles. Mike Johnson has none of them. He strikes out three times and all of that. So, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I myself, when I find those people in the real world, I kind of like dealing with them because you know what they are and you play them like a fiddle. And all of a sudden, when they realize they're being played like a fiddle, they just hide. They run away. Yeah. They run away because they're too embarrassed because they cannot back up again. No leadership, no uniting, no working together, no co-writing bills, no humanitarianism. He's got none of it.
Right. No, I agree with you, except the difference is I don't like working with him, especially because he's the Speaker of the House. But thank you so much for calling. And Dick of Madison, we can squeeze in a call before we go to the break. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Real quick, what are the chances that our Johnson is connected to this Johnson as well? You know, I can't even imagine that, you know, Ron Johnson from the Senate, all of the things line up. And it won't surprise me at all if they've been in contact with each other in those early days after the 2020 election.
Well, yeah. First of all, Ron Johnson, our Ron Johnson, was walking around with the fake electors in his pocket. That is like a burglar walking around with the jewels in his pocket and he doesn't get prosecuted. I'm not kidding. And this guy was the architect in the Congress to overturn the election, including the Venezuela voting machines, the fake brief out of Texas, the fake electors. And yet the only prosecution of these people is coming from Fannie Willis and Jack Smith and then Dana Nessel, great attorney general from Michigan. Our guys are going scot-free. The burglars quite literally, the jewels were in his pocket. I'm talking about the fake electors in his pocket. Guy doesn't get prosecuted. How bad is that? Well, thanks for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. One-time high-flying cryptocurrency FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried has been found guilty of 7 counts of criminal fraud. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur says he got high-tech executives and sports stars to invest in the hard-to-understand world of cryptocurrency.
Many of Bankman-Fried's top lieutenants from FTX testified that he had orchestrated and told them to commit massive fraud.
Also in court in New York, Donald Trump Jr. wraps up his testimony in the family business civil fraud case. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The former president's oldest son was pressed on the stand about his involvement in the financial documents scheme.
Before even having a day in court, I'm apparently guilty.
He called the case
purely a political persecution.
Led by the new Republican leader, the House has approved a military aid bill for Israel, but not for Ukraine, and adding domestic spending restraints. So the White House says
the president would veto an only Israel bill.
CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggihoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is moving forward with impeaching the state's top election administrator. He moved articles of impeachment against Megan Wolf to the Assembly Committee on Government Accountability and Oversight on Thursday. That's after a group launched a 6-figure ad buy calling for Voss's removal if he didn't move forward with impeaching Wolf. That ad was filled with incorrect statements about Megan Wolf's involvement in the 2020 presidential election. Governor Evers says he's leaning on Senate Democrats to get an American Family Field maintenance bill passed. Democrats have said they don't like that the bill spends almost $500 million in public money, but asked for much less from the Milwaukee Brewers. The governor says he's persuaded some Democrats to vote for the bill. He says any significant changes to the bill might kill Democratic support. I'm Nate Wuggihoe, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 36 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 49 tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Lows around 35 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going back to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Thank you for taking my call, Matt, and great show as usual and wonderful callers. I just wanted to call in real quick. Now, thank you. You are an excellent teacher, and we're so lucky to have you every day. I hope it's okay to give a couple of resources where people can get additional information on what's going on the different characters that are taking place and threats to our democracy and legal papers where you can actually see them.
Absolutely.
And one of them is Brian Tyler Cohen, and the other one is Midas Touch. And there's a legal AF. And you can see them on YouTube. They'll show the documentation, and they'll see everything you say is fact, Matt. And I'd like to bring up one quick thing here. I think we're in big trouble, and unfortunately, I think it's getting worse. But I think together we can all beat this. And by sharing references and knowledge and documents, people can see for their own with their own eyes, because we need to alert the public. Organized crime. Now, Trump is a criminal, and he's in it up to his eyeballs. However, there's a wizard behind the curtain. He's not smart enough to control all of the facets of our government. However, there's either the betters or somebody higher than him that are the legal minds. Like you said, Matt, they're going to take us down legally. And right. I really believe that.
Right. Well, Gene, first of all, thank you. So I always love it when you call. And first of all, for everybody, because Gene's called into my show for a long time. And Gene watches everything, reads everything, and knows every detail of all these hearings and everything else. So when she says Midas Touch and the other reference, you can take that to the bank. That's very, very good advice. The second thing is that when it comes to Trump and, you know, the wizard behind the curtain and all that, Trump is a malignant phenomenon. But you're exactly right in this respect, that there are a lot of people out there who are going to school on him. Mike Johnson is one, and Mike Johnson is exactly in my mind like Scott Walker was, even though Scott Walker got on the wrong side of Trump. These are people who, unlike Trump, don't insult. They aren't. They don't have unusual sexual proclivities, that kind of thing. But they burrow down, and everything Trump tells them to do, they do, and that's very, very dangerous. So, Gene, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Now, I want to talk about something else. Another Trump disciple, another Trump fellow traveler and running dog, Tommy Tuberville. This is getting very serious, because we're going to be talking in a bit or another segment about what's happening with Iran and the United States, the attacks on our troops. We're going to talk about a lot of things. But Tommy Tuberville has now blocked more than 350 promotions at flag rank in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, everybody. And here's what that has cost us. In the Middle East, we don't have a confirmed commander of the Fifth Fleet, the Navy, right around that area. We don't have a deputy commander of the U.S. Central Command. Absolutely necessary. That's the command that's in charge of this whole area. We don't have a chief of naval operations, a CNO. I'll tell you what, when I was in the Navy, there was a guy named Zumwalt, Admiral Zumwalt, great guy. He would send these things called Z-grams. In those days, they were sort of like telegram things. There was no internet. And he would say what we were going to be doing, and everybody looked up to him, and I looked up to him. We do not have a head general for the Air Force. And Tuberville, of course, didn't serve. But not only didn't he serve, they said, well, why are you doing this? He said, well, there are too many officers. It's like bureaucrats. We have to cut down the bureaucracy. He doesn't understand the military. What's funny about him is he has a lot of characteristics that he shares with the extreme left in the extreme right. They somehow think that officers, especially senior officers, there's too many of them. They shouldn't be respected and so on. That is so far from the truth is unbelievable. The average soldier and sailor and Marine and airman or airwoman look up to their leaders, even down to the platoon leader in the Army. They'll look up to their CO of their ship. They want that kind of leadership. They want that kind of guidance. And part of what Tuberville's doing, and Tuberville, by the way, is the guy who said, what's wrong with white, quote, what's wrong with white supremacy? A white supremacist is just an American, end quote. And the other thing he said is the other definition of a white supremacist is somebody who supports Donald Trump, end quote. Now, here's the thing about this guy. He is in there, and yet there were senators not too long ago who demanded that Al Franken get out of the Senate. They were going to throw him out, and he had to resign. He's our best, one of our best senators. They're not doing that to this guy. Why are they not doing that to this guy? He said he's a white supremacist. He's attacking our military. Nobody goes after this guy. They're afraid of going after him. What he is doing, and this is of a piece with what I said about back in the 1930s in Germany, they used a parliamentary procedure in bad faith. In other words, anything that that benefited them, they'd take full use of, and anything that was just routine for the other side, they'd fight. This is a thing called unanimous consent. It's not in the Constitution. A long time ago, these 100 senators back in the 19th century, they get together and they go, you know, we're a pretty special group of people. We're a pretty special. It was all guys back then, you know, and they thought they were like the House of Lords. A lot of them were Anglophiles. And the House of Lords in merry old England, they don't have a Senate. Their upper house is called the House of Lords. And these lords are people like, you know, hereditary. Back then, all hereditary, the Duke of Norfolk, the Duke of Sussex, that kind of thing. And they'd all get together, and then Parliament would pass laws, and then they'd decide if they liked the laws. I'm not kidding. They weren't elected. They'd throw them out. In the 1880s, Gladstone, he was a great prime minister of Britain, introduced Irish Home Rule. Today, that may seem pretty, you know, obscure. But back then, the idea was, why don't you, Ireland was part of the Great Britain back then, all of it. But why don't you let the Irish rule themselves? And then, you know, if there's something we don't like, we can tell them, blah, blah, blah. It passed the Parliament. The House of Lords threw it out. And you know what? As a result of that, there was an Irish Revolution and a civil war and a lot of bloodshed. The Senate back then think of themselves, and they still do, as the House of Lords. So they have unanimous consent. And the Lords would all say to one another, if any one of us doesn't want something, it doesn't get done. If any one of us doesn't want something. So Tuberville said, I don't want any promotions at the flag level. Rand Paul said, I don't want ambassadors. So we have no ambassador to Egypt or Israel. Are you kidding? Right now, because of Rand Paul. J.D. Vance of Ohio says, I don't want U.S. attorneys because some of them are prosecuting Donald Trump. So you have assistant U.S. attorneys trying to fill the role. To stop unanimous consent, it takes 60 votes. It's like a filibuster, but one guy's filibuster. We have 51 votes if Sinema and Manchin go our way, and I think they would on flag officers. That means we need nine Republicans to say that Tommy Tuberville is wrong, and we don't have it, believe it or not. Ron Johnson supports Tommy Tuberville. Ron Johnson. Of the 368 officers, more than 350 that he's blocked, 72 of them can't assume their new possessions. Something like 25 of them have forced to defer their retirement so that they don't abandon their post. But here's James Risch of Idaho, Republican, quote, if it's serious to the Democrats, they should do what they ought to do. What did he mean by that? He meant that we should one by one, that's the unanimous consent, put up each of the 365 and devote time to debate it. And Tommy Tuberville can talk as long as he wants, and so can his friends. That would take months. Right now, we have Ukraine. We have Israel. We have Gaza. We have running out of money on the 17th. A guy that really disappointed me is this guy Thune, or Thune, T-H-U-N-E, South Dakota, number two to Moscow Mitch. Moscow Mitch is sort of normal about this, but Thune says, I support Tuberville. You know, we basically, any of us can stop it. Now, listen to this. There is a guy, a general, Mike Hayden. You may remember the name under George W. Bush. He was the head of CIA and also the NSA director at one time. They asked him what he thought. He said, Tuberville is not a member of the human race. That's what he said. Tuberville took offense. But you know what he did? He turned Hayden in to the Capitol Police, said it was an assassination threat. Let me tell you something, Tuberville. You think you're coming to Milwaukee in July, and you're going to strut down Wisconsin Avenue, and you're going to go to our restaurants, and you're going to feel very, very smug about yourself. I don't want you in our town. I don't want you in our town. I don't want you in your kind. I don't think you're a member of the human race either. I'm with Hayden, very much so. And you know what? I don't want Rand Paul here either, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, or Matt Gaetz. But I especially don't want Tommy Tuberville. How can you, as a party, remember, they have 49 senators. How can 9 of them, even if they want to pretend to be white supremacists and back Tuberville and talk to the Trump base, how can 9 of them not say, with 2 aircraft carrier detachments in the Eastern Mediterranean, an aircraft carrier has about 5,000 people on it and a couple of hundred pilots, and a Marine detachment, maybe 2 of them, of 2,000 Marines. They are at risk. Iran is through proxies, launching missiles at our bases. And after November 17, because of the Republicans, unless we take a big haircut on social spending from the deal in the spring, they ain't going to get paid. And their admirals and generals are not getting promoted, or in some cases not being even sent to the ship. This is treason. I don't use the word lightly. A long, long time ago, I had a high regard for the Republican Party. I knew a lot of people in the Republican Party. I never met Dwight Eisenhower, but I thought a lot of him. I did meet Lee Dreyfus. He was a good guy. I met Warren Knowles. I met Tommy Thompson. You could work with them. They would not have refused to pay our Marines and our Navy, an Army, an Air Force. They would not have blocked promotions for our flag officers. Now, what I don't know is why the 51 Democrats don't put in a resolution to get rid of unanimous consent. It's long overdue. We're not the House of Lords. They can do it by majority. And even if the parliamentarian says that they shouldn't do it, they can remove the parliamentarian. 51 senators can do whatever they want, but in no Senate does the majority ever get rid of unanimous consent, because they like the prestige. So our recourse is 9 Republicans. We don't have them. Otherwise, we chew up the next 3 months, one at a time, going through well over 350 people. This is naked treason. It's supported by Trump, supported by Ron Johnson, supported by Mike Johnson. And not a single Republican congressman in this state has spoken against it. Not a single one. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Timeout.
All right.
Hey, remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, occasionally you got to have a little fun. This is something that I think is terrific. Here's what's happened. George Santos was arraigned again today. This guy doesn't quite have the number of felony arrangements that Trump does. Trump is 91. Santos is in the 20s, I think, and I forget if today oozed it up or they already counted that. Not sure. Over 20. New York Republicans are absolutely petrified because they are right there. He's in the news there every day. You read about him nationally. You really read about him in the New York papers. So four of them got together. They interposed a resolution to expel him from the Congress. Now, can they do that? Yes, under the law, it takes two-thirds. So two-thirds of the Congress, two-thirds of 435, would have to vote to expel him. I assume that the Democrats all would, although what would be funny is if they didn't, then he wouldn't be expelled and he'd continue to be a thorn in their side. But let's suppose they'll do it. That would require quite a few Republicans to do the same thing. I will tell you right from the start, I've always been of the view that the Congress and the Senate should not have the ability to expel their members. In other words, as bad as they are, if they commit crimes, then let them be prosecuted and put in jail. And if their constituents don't like it, which they won't, let them choose somebody else. But back, for instance, in the late 60s in the Georgia state legislature, there was a guy named, I think it was Julian Bond. He was an African-American guy and a Democrat, and he opposed the war in Vietnam. That's all he did. He opposed the war in Vietnam. The Georgia legislature expelled him. Went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no way, you can't do that. Put him back in. I think, quite frankly, if this Congress expelled Santos, they'd probably put him back in, but it'd be funny to see him do it. Here's the thing. He's being charged with some new counts of identity theft. He would charge on donor credit cards, lying to the FCC, FEC, Federal Election Commission, reporting non-existent loans and contributions that were either fabricated or stolen. That's right. How bad is that? How would you like to have, you know, the clerk read that and the judge is glowering down at you? Now, what's weird about this, the funniest thing about all of these charges against George Santos, in my mind, is not what I just read. But this guy, I have never seen, I've seen a number of interviews of him. I've never seen a guy who is such a sociopath that he would almost lie instinctively when he didn't have to. In other words, he'd make up a lie that he didn't have to. And he was given an interview to somebody in the Brazilian press, but he was giving it in English. And the guy from Brazil in press spoke very good English. And he said something to Santos like, how do you like New York? Right away off the top of his head, he said, I like it, but it's a dangerous place. I was walking down Fifth Avenue at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man came out with a gun, stuck it to my head, and stole my shoes. This is what he said. The guy from Brazil goes, on Fifth Avenue at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, was there a police report? And Santos said, nah, I didn't bother to file a police report. In other words, he reflexively makes stuff up to kind of be the center of attention, no matter what it is. I mean, no matter what it is. Now, when you look at some of these things that he's accused of, okay, identity theft, just so you know, there are people that are not certain his name is George Santos, because in Florida, he used a different name for a long time, and there are people who think that possibly that really was his name. Now, you can change your name, but normally, if you want to change it, if, you know, credit cards and this, that, and the other thing to be running for Congress, you go to court. And you go into court and you say, Your Honor, my name is Joe Jones and I'd like to change it to George Santos. He says, is there anybody here who objects? No. Bingo, you got it. This guy just uses names. So I don't know if he is George Santos. But the thing about charging on donors' credit cards, let me tell you a little background on that one. I've run for office and occasionally somebody will call up and say, I want to donate, you know, $250, Matt. Here's my credit card. They'll say it to my staff. That's a very dangerous thing. I don't like to have credit card numbers around. So they might take it and put it in, but then they're instructed to destroy the number. What he would do would take these numbers, and you know what he'd do? Then he'd use them, and he'd go out to eat. He'd go to the store, buy himself some clothes. That's what the guy would do. Buy, you know, that is absolute theft. Now, sometimes what would happen would be, okay, the donor would find out and call him up angry, and he'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, somebody else did it, and they wouldn't follow up on it. But some people took it very hard, and that's what happened here. Another way of doing that fraud, David Duke, you may remember him, down in Louisiana, David Duke, he was two things. He was a higher-up in the Ku Klux Klan, and he was also a member of the American Nazi Party. And he would wear Nazi uniforms, and the Republicans nominated him for governor in the early 90s. They actually did. And George W. Bush, young Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, went there, and David Duke was running against the guy, the Democrat who'd been in prison for fraud. And George H.W. Bush campaigned for the fraudulent Democrat. He said, you got to vote for him. We can't have a Nazi. One of the reasons why David Duke went to prison was because when he would, on his website, say, donate to me, and then there'd be a little box you could hardly read that say, make it monthly. So somebody would donate $100, and then suddenly they'd see $100 on their credit card every month. And some of them would complain, some wouldn't complain, but that's what happened with him. And so some of these characters, some of the more crooked ones in the Republican Party, do this kind of thing. And that's what Santos. So stay tuned on Santos. The four Republicans are in seats that Joe Biden won. Joe Biden won them. Nobody there likes George Santos. They're afraid that in New York, they'll lose their seats. And so they're all ganging up on him. And we'll see if that works out. I have a split mind. I don't care if Santos stays in or not. When it came time to voting for a speaker, yeah, sure, I didn't want him in, extra vote. Now, one vote isn't going to make much difference. But he is a scandal, and he is a black mark in Congress, and he probably should get out of there. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I'm not just ever-
Civic Media Global Headquarters on... Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the final home game of the season for Carroll University football this Saturday, November 4th.
The Pioneers will also celebrate Senior Day as the Big Blue of Milliken University visits the Schneid. You can catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny, pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Carroll versus Milliken for the final home game this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.